I'm Chris Leneau, and I never listen to None Taken.
And I'm Steve Leneau, and I've never listened to None Taken either.
I haven't paid attention to any news today. I put on the Reason Roundtable. All they were doing was underreported news stories of the year. I'm like, well, that's not news. I think we got really lucky. Like on a week where I haven't paid attention to the news, I've been on a 3-day bender.
Yeah,
I was barely on the internet. I'm like,
yeah, it's the kind of same.
And
but you know what?
I don't think there's any news.
Nothing's happening. Nothing. I started listening to The Daily, and they were just doing like a replay.
Yeah.
I turned on CNN. They were doing replays. MSNBC was doing replays. I was like, is there nothing happening? I guess nothing is happening.
I guess so. They've decided it. Yeah. I mean, we've had ships attacked left and right in the Red Sea.
It's been enough. Yeah. We could use a break.
Okay.
It's been enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, what are we going to do? Talk about? I don't even have it as a topic. I don't. Like, if there's more, we'll talk about. You know what I have if we were going to talk about that? China hasn't done shit. All those boats are getting attacked, and, like, there's an international effort to put a stop to it, and China's just like, it'd be one thing if China wasn't like, we patrol this ocean, and we have an escort that, you know, if people need us, they can have the PLA will escort you. And then
pay
like,
a protection fee, you know, we're the mob out here.
Yeah, exactly. And then this goes on, and they're just like, huh, no, I'm not involved.
No, they've doubled down on not giving me fuck.
Yeah.
Which is weird because it's their cargo that's being mostly.
I mean like little pieces of rubber dog shit made in China?
Yeah.
Fuck around this one more. You'll be flying cargo planes full of rubber dog shit out of Hong Kong. Remember that?
I do remember that.
Might have said Taiwan. It might have been Hong Kong. It's Hong Kong. Sounds funny to say Hong Kong. Anytime you say Hong Kong during a story, I always repeat it. I don't know if you've noticed that.
I have noticed it, yes.
Yeah, every time you go Hong Kong, I go Hong Kong.
Hong Kong.
I can't get used to, so I got a monitor for Christmas that has two screens, and the cursor, I just cannot get the cursor to go from one screen to the other.
So it's plugged into your laptop, so you have three?
Yeah. Yep, the laptop is only, the laptop is a very expensive soundboard right now. That's all it does. And the soundboard's not working, so you didn't get to hear the musical stylings of Peggy... Brenda Lee. Yeah, fucking bye.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig, okay?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Thanks, Alec Baldwin. What do I got here? I got a couple other sounds that I just did. I needed to
He didn't shoot anybody this week, so there's that.
It's been a while since he shot anybody.
It's been a while.
Let's go to clips. I got to add new clips in here. I've got two new clips for the soundboard this week. This is for any time somebody does that. Like, you know, we have that kid that's like, have you ever... that sort of like jibber jabbers when the kid does that. I've got an update for that. It's this. Probably any time Kamala Harris says anything, we'll just play that. And then we've got this from last week with Larry King.
Well, that means you're gay.
I'm a fan of a beehole or something.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. All right. Let's start the show. I have a trivia question I wanted to ask you. So it occurred to me that how many presidents have we had, Alan? What number?
48?
46, right?
48. I'm just...
Thanks for playing, Alan. Yeah, so Trump's 45, Biden's 46, Trump wants to be 47 also, right?
Right.
Okay.
We have Bush 41 and Bush 43.
Yeah, so presidents that have been elected to non-consecutive terms, the only one being Cleveland, they have two presidency numbers. So like Trump with the 45 and he hopes to have a 47, those would be two different numbers.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
How many presidents have been elected?
Well, Ford wasn't elected.
So you got this. Okay, so that's where I'm going with this. So Ford, you've got who else, you know, Truman wasn't elected president, right?
Right.
Okay,
right.
So through that process, how many presidents have there been?
Elected presidents.
Elected president, yeah.
So that would be 44.
Yeah, it keeps going. 37.
30?
There's only been 37 elected presidents, yeah.
That's mind-blowing.
Yeah, Yeah. I mean, that's if
37 out of 46.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm counting presidents that have taken over for terms, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Like not included that previous ones. Yeah. And the one that has never been elected was Ford because he was a replaced vice president.
Right.
So Ford he was never even elected as vice president.
Which is pretty wild.
People don't talk about that enough, right?
Wow.
Yeah. Coolidge, Truman, and LBJ went on to win future elections. Those presidents counted in my contest.
Yeah.
LBJ. I did have a follow up question about which one was not elected, but I already told it to you.
Which one had the biggest dick, though? That was
Johnson,
LBJ, for sure.
Easily. Yeah. Yeah, the verdict's out on Abe Lincoln. We don't know.
We don't know. We're not sure.
All right. Well, we know who Teddy Roosevelt carried a big stick. That's what he said. But that Indeed. Sounds like all talk. You know, he was a short fan, short king. All right. Yeah. Anybody who calls himself a bull moose is sus. speaking of confident sexuality, here is a there's a game being played here. It's like a dating game. Let me present this to you. It reminds me of, they're the people in that, they do that UMAD, I think, that you talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Is it them? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, the girls are dressed in costumes and they're doing a dating game. You can't see their head. So you see them from like the neck down.
Okay.
All these girls. And the guy's asking the contestant questions. He's going to ask her what we're going to be listening to if he gives her the aux cable.
Oh.
That was close.
And we're live.
Okay, now we're recording. Okay.
Okay.
All right, now we're doing a show.
Contestant number 5. We're in the car and you have the aux. What are you playing?
We're listening to Ted Kaczynski's audiobook. That's what we're doing.
Ted Kaczynski, isn't that a serial killer?
You're so dumb.
That guy sounds like a serial killer.
Do you not know who Ted Kaczynski is?
No, I don't know. What the f***? Ted Kaczynski, did he host TED Talks? Did he create TED Talks? I don't know who this guy
That's
is.
That's enough out of you.
I just have a question. Are y'all to a podcast? Is that what she's saying? She said an audiobook.
She didn't say we were having sex. If she said we were having sex while doing it, I would have picked her.
We're not having sex, ever. You're never having sex with anyone. You've never had sex. It's never going to happen for you. Just give up.
Don't let me in his damn house.
I love her. I can fix her.
Should we record?
Yeah, 1, 2, 3.
She's perfect. All right, you ready?
I am
ready. Hi, Natasha. That sounds good. Yeah, right.
Saved it right, Alan.
Yes.
Full time. Well,
you want to start a show?
Let's start a show.
That podcast is filling your head with garbage.
I got all the ways I just ain't got to make.
No offense taken there.
Well, it sounds like none taken.
Got all the ways I just ain't got to make. I got. I just ain't got the main
boot.
Welcome to None Taken, the internet's only debate and current events show, hosted by Dustin and Alan, two political nomads from two different worlds. Shout out to Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band for their song Ways and Means for intro music. Time of this recording, it is Tuesday, December 26, 2023. Happy Boxing Day to you. It's a great day for America. We are two coastal elites coming to you from the shores of the mighty Cumberland in Madison, Tennessee, all the way to the Pacific waters of El Cerrito, California. Please subscribe right now wherever you're listening to this. Wait, is there something I normally say? Like, you miss a little, you miss a lot? Is that where I say that?
Something like that. Okay.
Here to recap another week of current events and sharing way too much of our tragic personal life. Fucking nailed it, Alan. Head on over to fungiblenuntakens.com to buy this shirt.
What's that one? Viewers.
Nice. And logo. Or this mug, this frosty pint glass with the logo on it as well. Which I'm told is the perfect size. People say that logo is the perfect size. I thought it was a little small.
They always say that.
They always say that. I know. I know.
Yeah.
I gave them an option for bigger, and they said, no, it's fine. So, and then join the Patreon. Watch the video. You know, a lot of this stuff has visual aids to it. We like to pick videos that translate to audio, but if you'd like to see what's going on here, like, you know, that sexy lady with all that Ted Kaczynski knowledge, you could do so by joining the Patreon. At
Trumpgags.com.
That's right. It's a specialty site. Yeah, Trumpgags.com. I think it starts at like, does it start at $5 or does it start at less than that? Does it start at like $3?
I think it starts
at $3.
Yeah.
You could be doing this for $3. There's different layers. You know, I think it's well understood. Guys, if you pick a higher tier, you're doing it because you like us. We appreciate that. We try to give you stuff for it, but at the same time, we want to have a party for everybody there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and thank you to those who have already. You keep the show going. Alan? I think I forgot someone.
We did. For all your SEO and marketing needs, slickitsdigital.com.
Slickitsdigital.com.
Support the people that support us.
That's right. How you been?
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Hope you all had a fantastic holiday. I personally had a good time, man. I was just kind of chilled. I watched a lot of Netflix. I made a chicken pot pie.
And I don't care.
It was really
good. You made a chicken pot pie?
Like from scratch. Well, not the crust.
Did you make a big chicken pot pie? Like a pie?
Yeah.
Like
a whole
thing. Oh.
Like the
pie. I always think of like a personal pan carrots. Chicken pot pie.
Yeah, I know. No, it was a whole full pie.
Okay.
And it came out really good. It was my first attempt at doing it.
Do you remember those stories as a kid where there's like ravens in a pie or something like that?
Oh, that does sound familiar.
That seems really weird.
Yeah, where was that?
It's from like Hansel and Gretel or some one of those.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Isn't mincemeat pie like sweet, isn't it?
Couldn't tell you. I can't remember.
No. I also made a shepherd's pie on Saturday, which is really good.
Nice.
I was in a pie mode. So yeah.
I like shepherd's pie. Did you have a bunch of pie shells? What happened?
No. Well, shepherd's pie doesn't have, it's just potatoes, you know?
But
I was in a pie mood, I guess. I don't know.
I love shepherd's pie. Shepherd's pie is like Irish nachos.
Oh, dude, it's the best.
You haven't had a lot of sleep? Is that what you said?
No, I got a lot of sleep.
Dude, me too. I slept until like, I thought I had to check the clock like twice on Sunday. It was 10 o'clock. I was like, no, this is wrong. The dogs wouldn't even let this happen.
Yeah, but it happened.
Wow. Yeah, well, let me hear about, is that, okay, yeah, I guess I've been interrupting you. Tell them about yours. You just relaxed, basically what you said.
Yeah, basically.
That's good. That's good, man.
Relaxed and made pies.
Retail took a lot out of you. Friday, Saturday, we didn't do a whole lot. No, Saturday, we ended up we met up with a couple at a tiki bar, and then we wanted to go to another one because all the tiki bars have their seasonal drinks this time of year. So, you know, you can get like hot buttered rum or, you know, something more elaborate. I got one called Yippee-Ki-Yay Motherfucker. That has decorative cocaine on it, just to, you know, in remembrance of Ellis from the original Die Hard. Hans, Booby, I'm your white knight. Hey, Hans, put the gun away. What's with the method acting? This is radio, not television.
That guy gets shot so fast.
I know. Fucking Ellis, yeah, man. He did it to himself. He did. Yeah. I don't know, though. I mean, because he could have said he knew him and maybe he would have survived. And he's like, I don't know. I feel like John McClane kind of got him killed by saying he doesn't know him.
I mean, he just gave off real tech bro vibes.
Yeah. 80s finance douche, right?
Yeah.
He's the inverse of Patrick Bateman.
Yes.
Right? Like Patrick Bateman's like the cool one that, you know.
He's the guy with the nice business card.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where was I? Why am I talking about that? Oh, so we went to a couple of tiki bars and had some great drinks. One of them, honestly, man, they just kind of phone it in. It's kind of a bummer, but it's fine.
I feel like they should be making drinks with gin or something for the holidays. Like there should be more piney. You know what I mean?
There's a whole menu. Yeah. But I mean, you know, tiki, it kind of, you have a preponderance of whiskeys and rums in tiki. There's obviously, there are gins, obviously. I mean, I don't mean to undersell
it. Tropical.
Yeah. Where are we, Alan? Where am I going with this? Oh, so then driving home, we're like a block away from D's. And once you pass D's, you're kind of getting close to the street. You go down to get towards our neck of the woods. And I'm like, you know what? Let's just go to D's. So we pop into D's and there's a good band plan. Wild Bill and the Bruisers. I didn't know they were going to be playing. That was great. Ended up staying and watching. And then after that, Sweet Meg played. And she's great, too. She was just touring in Europe. Bought a couple albums of hers. Ended up playing it the next morning. We stayed
record
at two vinyls. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. They're just really good. Sweet Meg with two G's. Anyway, we ended up heading home and driving home. Why did I say driving home? Oh, the whole only thing I wanted to say about driving home was it was just like drinking and driving's fun, you know, and just being like there were a couple of cars in front of us, so we kept our speed, you know, reasonable, but it was just like, sure. God, it's just such a pleasure to just, you know, with control of the vehicle, have a few pops and then drive home. Like, you know, it's just, I would hate for that to be taken away from us. And, you know, they seem to try to take that away with like, they're going to put alcohol breathalyzers on to cars on like everyone mandatory, or like touch sense ones that I don't even know what dystopic future we're looking at where that's a thing. Yeah, it's just, it's a real pleasure of life. And I know I sound like I'm not talking about people losing control and like having way too much to drink and drive. I'm saying having the exact legal limit and driving a vehicle. It's very fun.
I was trying to find, what's that ska band that has the song Drinking and Driving? They used to be on Big O and Dukes all the time.
Oh, the Pie Tasters.
Yeah, the Pie Tasters.
So we went out. That was Christmas Eve Eve. Christmas Eve Eve is Christmas Eve in Australia. Shout out Christmas to our Steve. Christmas. Well, shout out to our Australia fam listeners, Uncle Steve. So I reached out to Uncle Steve on Christmas Eve Eve and said, "Hey, happy Christmas, Steve." I hope you're enjoying your holiday.
Your favorite. Yeah,
And he loved it. It was great. And then he was listening to the podcast and I got nervous again. He told us that boomers did not have it easy, but that's fine. I'm all for intergenerational warfare. And we woke up Sunday with no hangover. It was amazing, like I said. And we watched Die Hard 1 and 2 to celebrate a Christmas Eve. Not 3, because that's no longer a Christmas movie, but the second one's Christmas too.
Yeah, 3 kind of went off the rails a bit.
No. 3's fantastic. They just changed the formula. They made it a summer blockbuster.
There you go. Okay.
3's great. What are you talking about?
It's the one with the hacker dude?
No, 4 is the real bad hacker.
Oh, 4 is the hacker dude.
3 is the one with Scar from Lion King is the bad guy.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. And Samuel L. Jackson. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Zeus. Remember? His name is Zeus. He's like, "Hey, Zeus." Not, "Hey, Zeus." Zeus. So get it right or I'll shove a lightning bolt up your ass. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Save the franchise. Samuel. Okay, well, let's get into our comedy clips. I've got a couple sent in by Thrash, then one from me, one from you. Kept it real light this week. Nice. I've barely been on the internet, man, honestly. So sorry, guys, if you sent a lot of submissions in. I just haven't really been up on things. Yeah. But we'll get back in the swing of it. This is sort of a dead week in general. I'm not going to lie to you. This week is not going to be heavy on the current events, but I believe you the more you people tell me that you come here for our personalities, so... It's what we brought you this week. Hope you like us. Let's start off with a couple of comedy submissions. Hey, like I
Mateo
said,
Lane.
Right? Wait, what?
That's Mateo Lane.
This guy? Oh, thanks. Yeah. Well, now I don't have to remember names. Mateo Lane on a clip that Thrash sent in.
If you love Christmas, you're gay. Everyone's like, "I wonder what it'd be like to be gay." It's not sucking dick. It's everything during Christmas. Every goddamn thing you do. We're going to put the star, the presents. You know, it's gay. Presents are gay.
Presents are gay?
What's behind that pretty box? You know, it's...
Oh, I get it.
It's gay. It's all gay. If you love Christmas, you're gay.
I didn't know how much more there was. Sorry.
That dude's hilarious. I love that dude.
Yeah? Do you know more of him? I don't know more of him.
Yeah, he does like a cooking show too, also.
What? Really?
YouTube?
Oh, that's funny.
He's very funny.
Mateo Lane? That's exactly what it's about. Was he on Hunk?
I don't think so.
Okay, all right.
No, I don't think so.
Mateo stood out for some reason.
Yeah.
That guy from Canada, we need to get on from Hunk, the We Didn't Get a Rose guy. He's always trouble. He said he'd come on too. I just haven't organized. Dude, we should start plugging it. We're gonna have Sino Talk on next Thursday. So
yeah.
Not this Friday show, but next Friday's show is gonna be questions, interviews with Sino Talk, a great China Watcher Instagram page. And Wei has already sent in a few questions. Alan, I already sent you the sheet. Take a look at the sheet.
Okay, cool.
Review those questions. And listeners, if you have some questions you want us to ask Sino Talk, let us know. Anyways, back to comedy clips. This is Kiri Boz. That's what they're saying, but it's not. Wait, Kiri Boz. I hate it when it does this. Okay. Well, KIRYBAZZ is the comedian.
Okay.
Here's the jokes.
Our culture, man, we went cancel crazy. I don't believe you can cancel large groups of people. Individuals are fine. think there's not a risk to canceling groups of people. I don't like spiders. They creep me out. But I can't get rid of every spider, right? I can't kill off every spider because it'll mess up the ecosystem. I think the same could be said about Karens. I think in 2020, we killed off way too many Karens. And oh, now man. The homeless are out of control. The homeless have run amok. And it's because we killed off their natural predator. You know what I mean? Like, we got rid of the only people in our society evil enough to call the police on the homeless. I'm not going to do it. I need a Karen to be evil so I can continue to look like a good liberal. You know what I mean? That's the balance of things. I can see it now. Karen will be outside harassing the homeless with the police. I come out there like, hey, you racist bitch. You forgetting one over there. He's hiding. Don't.
I lost it on that last part there. Totally. Oh, oh man.
Very good. Very good.
I am out of that clip. Okay, let me close that. I see my cursor's in the wrong way. Okay, I figured it out. Listeners, I got a new monitor and it's confusing me. Yeah, that's also from Thrash. This one's from me. This is our boy Brido. This is a good bit of his. He's, if you listen to Hunk with Mike Bridenstine, you've heard this bit sort of come up naturally throughout the show. This is how he put it into his act.
I see the Elvis movie. Did you know it's not 100% historically accurate? Did you know that? I didn't know that. I was like, I need to look up the history of rock and roll. I don't know this stuff. So I looked it up, and Elvis did not invent rock and roll. There was a guy that they credit. There's a lot of people they credit, but one of them, his name was Fats Domino. Have you guys heard this name? So then they're like, the first rock and roll song that experts agree was a rock and roll song is by Fats Domino, and it's called The Fat Man, 1949. I was like, I don't like this at all. That's your name, and now you gotta sing about it. Like, I don't like it. So I listened to the song. I was like, I have to listen to this f***ing song. Fats Domino's The Fat Man from 1949 starts with these lyrics. Well, they call me the Fat Man because I weigh 200 pounds. That's fucking crazy to me. 200. I weigh 215 right now, and no one calls me fat to my face. I don't think they'd call him Fats Domino anymore. I think they would call him My Goal Weight Domino. Pretty good, actually, Domino. How tall was he, Domino?
That's 215. That's Trump's weight.
Oh, that's not bad.
Don't you remember? That's what he filled out on.
I do remember. Yeah. Yes.
6'3", 215.
His dumper's got to weigh more than that.
Oh, plump dumper. Man, that thick, I always think about that AF. Tennis picture. We should find that tennis picture for the Patreon. Oh, there it is. Right
it's the
there.
The globalist. They don't want you to.
There it is, Alan.
There it is. I see it. I see it.
Oh, man. That is nice.
That's some thickness.
You can see the outline of the whitey tidies.
God. I don't want to think about that.
Yeah. Well, you no. don't have to think about it. You can look at it. It's right there. Look at it. No, look at it. Like the
just look at it. Eat it.
This is like the conservatives when they find gay porn in the Senate. They're like, look at it. Alan, look. Look at it. Look at this. Look. What's this? Okay.
What is this?
Alan sent this one in. This is Robots and Racism is all I put as notes. Who is this? Willie Simon.
I don't know his name.
Willie
He's
Simon.
Funny, though.
Yeah. Okay. Kind of looks, his face looks like old Rogan when he had hair.
A little bit.
Oh, I got a friend. She's building robots right
this
now.
This is hilarious. Job.
She does this. It's an AI. It's like an answering machine for human resources. Just hear what I just said. An AI for human resources. He's like, you get harassed at work. You got to talk to a robot. Like, press one for titty grabbing. Press two. I'm like, one. I'm scared of all the robot stuff, too, because I know they're getting more advanced, and I'm dreading the day robots start walking around doing people stuff, because I'm going to be racist to robots. Like, I don't want to be. It's just going to happen accidentally, you know what I mean? I'm going to be at Denny's with my kids in 30 years and a robot's going to walk in and I'm going to be like, look at this fucking microwave. My kids are like, Jesus Christ, Dan. I'm like, well, it didn't used to be like this. I'm just saying.
It used to be like this.
This country done changed on me. They used to be behind the register when I was a kid. I'm going to be on the wrong side of history at robots. But I think that's what's going to bring us together. You know, a little robot racism? Maybe that's what we need to unite as one people. I don't care if you're white, black, brown, as long as you're not chrome. Get out of here with your filthy chrome ass. There's no way.
Is there more?
They're taking our jobs.
They're taking our jobs.
Oh, okay.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's great. Good find, Alan. How'd you find that? Just come up in your algo?
Showed up on my algo.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and Brido shows up in mine. We gotta get guys, you gotta start following Brido so that he shows up in your algo and
yes,
it's good for
you
our friend. Let's get into our segment. Like I told you last week, there was a longer clip of the SNL joke swap. Well, The pleasure of not sharing the whole damn thing last week is we can stretch it out over a couple different shows. So last week we had Colin Jost saying racist jokes that Michael Che wrote for him. And this week we have Michael Che writing or saying, you know, honestly, Colin Jost doesn't go as hard as Michael Che does, right? Like,
no,
okay,
no.
Here's Michael Che's jokes.
MJ, the musical about the life of Michael Jackson, has become one of the highest grossing shows on Broadway. And my review of the acting is the same as my opinion of MJ's trial. Michael is amazing, but the kids are not believable at all. but I don't want to end like that. It's the holidays, and I want to end on a positive, uplifting note, especially with all the turmoil in the Middle East right now. So I want to say from the bottom of my heart, whether you're Jewish or Muslim, y'all need Jesus.
All right, sorry.
That's fantastic.
That one goes on too long. Don't do the 2 second Taylor laugh. That's, I think, the rule.
Yeah,
okay. That's when people get upset. Okay. All right. How about that?
Oh, how about that?
We haven't played a worship leader since last week, at least. I don't remember if we played one last week. So it's just a figure of speech gone wrong. That's all. No big deal.
Cling to Jesus, his death, his erection, his resurrection.
Erection.
How about that?
Cling to Jesus, his erection. What? Sorry. It's, you know, it's a word. You don't say resurrection that often unless you're in church,
true,
I suppose.
True.
You know, I put a note here to reconsider including this.
But we have
a short show today, so let's keep it in here anyway. So this is Norm Macdonald. We've played Norm Macdonald clips going back for as far as I can remember now.
Yeah.
This is him with Andy Dick. And there, I think the reason I don't want to include this or considered not including this is because Norm pushes the envelope, but Andy Dick always, like,
Andy doesn't even know what the envelope looks like.
Yeah. So Norm doing that with Andy Dick, just this is going to, I can't even remember where this goes, but I know this can't be good.
Okay.
Have you ever encountered a gay person? I mean encountered, where somebody came on to you.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, all the time. And I was always amazed at their gall, because here I was, like a 15-year-old boy.
Jesus.
And they were old and unattractive.
Yeah. God.
And they'd say things like, I got some beer in the trunk. Like, they never looked good. And, like, I get nervous around a lady of my age. Yet these guys were thinking they could get a guy that was not a homosexual, that was 45 years their junior, on the promise of some warm beer.
Did they get you?
Well, like I said, I'm not that open about my personal life. But those, I will say one thing, those old closeted gays, you know, they should be a little more sanitary around their cock and balls area. If they're going out for a night in the town with me.
Okay.
Well, that means you're gay.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a lot. Sorry. Told you, I almost didn't play it, you know? Now you get why.
I'm glad we left it in.
Oh, good. You like it in. Okay.
Yeah.
This is noted optimist Lewis Black talking about the power of being... Well, here, he'll say it.
There's been a new study that found that the sunny disposition of optimists
is often accompanied by bad memory, impaired verbal fluency, and poor decision-making skills. Optimism, the study declares, may be a side product of the true driver, low cognitive ability. So you're optimistic because your thinking is
the intensity
cloudy.
Of stupidity that is looking back at you.
Bad memory, so you can't remember how you got fucked. I just, wow. Wowie zowie. And I've always considered myself an optimist, so maybe my cognitive ability sucks. Maybe that's why I'm an optimist. Because I've said it time and again. You can't be as critical as I am of things unless you can believe that they're really, it should be better, and that it's possible for it to be better, and that it will get better.
Which I think is worth differentiating. I think that one thing that gets lost a lot is, you know, there's a difference between cynicism and being critical.
Sure.
This isn't a follow-up to that. Does it need to explain that more?
No, I don't.
You
think
said
so.
Sure, questioningly, like that, sure, go that on, study is, go on.
That study is true, by the way. I've read that study.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, like,
and even people who are like more tend to be depressed actually have like a more clear view of the world, which is strange.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's you know, it's an eternal. Evolved ability to be optimistic. I would say it helps us navigate the world.
The eternal sunshine of the spotless mind type thing.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, here's a good little fun one. Thrash sent in. This is Wheeler Walker Jr. Oh, it's gone. Oh, that sucks. Oh, it's gone.
Man. I like Wheeler Walker.
Man. Okay. So I bet it got pulled by Apple. So what it was he was saying last tour, I asked people to throw their Cheetos on the stage because the tour wasn't sponsored by Cheetos, but I figured if we did that, they'd end up sponsoring the tour. Anyway, they didn't end up sponsoring, but you guys were fun to throw Cheetos on stage, and I appreciate that. Anyways, this year's tour is sponsored by iPhones. So throw your iPhones on the stage. That kind of shit. So I guess that got took down. That's all right. It wasn't an important clip. Anyways, how about that? Anyway, there we go. Here's some bad advice. Did you ever watch that show, The Boondocks?
Yeah, it was like a comic strip first, right?
I thought it was too. Yeah, and it's and it was like out of DC, right? Like he was some like DC guy. Reminded me of like Politico or something. There was like a. I feel like the guy's background was an opinion writer or something like that for some.
It certainly felt like that. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, it was a social commentary, but it was heavily satirical to this extent that now, 15 years later, it gets isolated and played all the time. With no context, and the over-the-top characters are well. In this scene, it's a pimp and a. I'll just for clarification, in case the audience doesn't know, because you shouldn't assume a black pimp. I believe voiced by Cat Williams. If it isn't, they're doing a Cat Williams impression, and a. I don't know how else to put this, but a Carlton ass motherfucker. Would you say that is the other guy?
Sure.
You're gonna leave me on an island there. Okay, good. Alan's ambiguously possibly brown background really co-signs a lot of my questionable statements. Thanks, buddy. So here's a clip from The Boondocks.
Did you know that at least 75% of bitches suffer from some kind of hearing loss? This alarming statistic means that more likely than not, talking isn't the most effective way to communicate with a bitch. That's when you have to hit her.
Whoa, what?
You tell her what you want her to do. If she say no, hit the bitch. Simple.
But I couldn't hit Sarah. I couldn't hit any woman.
Has not hitting the bitch been working? I mean, scientifically speaking, has not hitting the bitch achieved the desired results?
No way. I couldn't.
Tom,
I won't.
Tom, take a deep breath. It's okay. People have phobias. Some niggas can't cross bridges. You can't go upside a bitch's head. Jesus. Okay, we can beat this.
We can beat this. Something you can work out in therapy. Okay.
Phobia.
Yeah, yeah. These things people don't like spiders. Alan, don't look at this.
Okay.
I don't remember why, but... I'm sure it'll come up. Oh, yeah. Okay. I want you to... I feel like if I prime you, you're going to say what this sound... This is actually really fun. So don't look at the screen. Don't read it. mm-hmm. and tell me what you hear them saying, and then I'll play it again telling you what it sounds like they're saying.
If you break your legs, it's hard to go time. Something.
You hear it if you break your legs?
Something like that.
Okay, so this is a clip from like Inglourious Basterds or some movie where Hitler's freaking out in it.
Okay, okay.
And they say if you break your legs, it's hard to cook orangutan.
What's
that? If you break your legs, it's hard to cook orangutan.
The last part's a little difficult.
Yeah, the last couple syllables, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If you break your legs, it's hard to cook orangutan.
It reminds me of how in Die Hard, in the first Die Hard, none of the German is German. Right. It's just a bunch of gibberish Dutch. Noises that they No. It's not even Dutch. It's just weird noises people made because they didn't think it was going to be an international hit. You got to remember, Bruce Willis was doing Moonlighting. He was like a sitcom star.
Oh yeah,
They passed up like action stars to make him into the action star he became. Why was I saying that? Oh. All the German in Die Hard is just gibberish, and they had to back and redub it when they released it in Germany with actual
like,
German.
Oh, people are going to understand
this.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's really fun to watch them and just think of them just going like, wah, 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 wah. If you break your legs, it's hard to cook orangutan. Duh. Hmm. There's an amazing sound. I can't believe this guy can make this sound with, this guy makes the sound of a saxophone. Here it goes.
Wow.
He's doing the seal bark thing,
King
though.
Panther.
Yes, right. But he's doing the, like, you could do a seal bark if you just go,
right, right.
But I can only do it like that.
That's incredible.
It works really well at the docks, though.
How about that?
About my seal impression. Do you want to hear my seal impression again?
Yeah, I do. Do it.
You know what I'm going to do. Kiss my rose on a grave. Ooh, the more I need it, yeah. All right.
Nice.
Gotcha. Do you want to hear my Tony Hawk impression?
Yeah.
Hey, these cops crashed into a gay bar. It's not what you think.
Oh. Okay. Dad, did you hear about that cop who crashed his car into a bar and then arrested the bar's owner? Dad. In St. Louis, a cop smashed his SUV into LGBTQ bar, RPM. The cop claimed he had to swerve out of the way of a dog.
You know they would have killed the dog given the chance.
Then later he said that he had to swerve his car out of the way of a car.
Car dog.
Well, during the investigation,
Dumb and Dumber dog.
The couple who owned the bar got pretty upset. And then the cops put one of the owners in handcuffs after what they claimed was an altercation. And then suddenly, and without warning, the cops beat up the other co-owner and charged him with resisting arrest.
Wow.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah,
about that indeed.
Yeah, it's one of those stories that doesn't really make national news, but like this shit goes on in your city all the time, right?
I'm sure.
I'm sure there's good stories too, right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna play
ACAB.
This ACAB. Yeah, all cops are. Wait, what? Amy Coney's are Barrett's.
Right.
So this clip gets a little douchey, and the guy kind of lays it on thick. But I think there's some good stuff in here. I'll play it as long as you want. If you want me to blow it up, we'll get the explosion ready.
Okay.
Jesus, I just almost burped into the microphone.
I'll never be upwardly mobile. I'm stuck in my economic class for life. And statistically, so are you. We're unlikely to break through. And even if we do, we're more likely to go downward than upward. Revolt. You'll probably never make as much as your parents. And even
he keeps having a candle lit under him saying revolt. That part actually kind of gets a little old. If he actually didn't include that, I think it must
be. If you come close, the purchasing power will never be the same.
The music is terrible.
I lack the connect.
The music's terrible, yeah.
Connections, pedigree, and exceptional talent or intelligence to ever make it out of the middle class.
I feel like I'm at a business conference.
I'll never be like able to fly first class. I'll never own a second home. I probably won't even own a first home. I'll never be able to yell, do you know who my
father is? Okay, and you know what? Part of why I wanted to blow it up too is even though, like, I mean, we do talk about it all the time, like the decline of the middle class is an idea in America.
Sure.
Statistically, what do we call this? Millennials are, well, not you, fucking Gen Xer. Millennials and Gen Xers are statistically hitting the same milestones that boomers did at a roughly the same age.
Doesn't feel like it.
Though. Well, I guess we assumed our parents did that when they were like 25.
Sure.
It doesn't feel like it. Yeah, I know. Yes.
Hmm.
Hmm. Well, you live in the Bay Area.
Statistically, as far as like home ownership, as far as income adjusted
yeah,
for inflation.
Yeah, but I think a lot of those people are moving to, well, they, yeah, yeah. Talk about income adjusted for inflation, though. Yeah.
Sure. So people, okay, all right. Well, maybe it's not as bad as people think it is.
I mean, income adjusted for the purchase power, I think, is sure. The biggest part. It's like I had a couple of years in the early 2012s where I think one of those years I made about as much as my dad did in like 95, 96. He was making good money then. I haven't hit that same number again, but even when I did, I wasn't like, sweet, a few more years like this, I'm buying a house. Like, it didn't feel like shit, you know?
Buy a pool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Fuck a pool. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Man, remember when people would buy houses and then put a pool in them?
I do. Yeah. Wow. That was the thing.
Wow. Okay. Elevator podcast. Our buddy Drew sent this. This is terrible. This is a palate cleanser to take us into. How about that? This is a new podcast idea. This guy's got a good one. Jason Scoop.
All right, folks, I'm starting a new podcast, Uncomfortable Conversations on Elevators. So what do we think, Trump or Biden? Who's going to win, Trump or Biden?
Neither.
Just getting out of the elevator.
Abortion, how do we feel? Yay or nay on abortion?
No.
Yay or nay? Okay, how about homosexual, just homosexuality? How do we feel about it? Do we like it? Do we
throw off the Arabia,
or do we support it?
To each his own.
Okay, thank you guys for participating. This was a great show.
It's a good concept.
It's a great concept, actually. Hold on. Am I following that guy? I should give that guy a follow. Yeah. There we go. Keep it up, bud. Right. Jason Scoop. All right, let's get into our...
Isn't that something?
...segment. This is where the topics get a little bit more... I guess they have more tangible... they're more tied to reality than silly talk, like... The decline of the middle class and
silly talk.
So the CEO of Wayfair, have you heard about this memo that the CEO of Wayfair wrote to his employees to like crack the whip going into the holidays?
I think I have heard of this. Yes.
So CNN got a hold of it, and this is some. I think they make their Brits work on not Halloween, Christmas. Because this is an unusual CNN anchor. I'm not familiar with this guy, but he's got a lot to say about this memo.
I didn't know whether to laugh or cry when I read the Wayfair memo from the CEO. Niraj Shah, winning feels good. Winning requires hard work. Find fulfillment in the joy of seeing efforts.
Dude, doesn't it sound like the party propaganda in 1984?
A little bit, yes, yes.
Materialize. Blending work and life is not to shy away from. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry when I read it because it is so out of touch with everything that I think is what probably is best business practice. There's not a word in the CEO's email about courtesy to each other or kindness or respect. Oh, I'm not talking about wokeism or gratuitousness. But I'll tell you tonight, I didn't get on air because I sat here. I got on air because Bob Cookson's in New York. Pamela Boykoff is in New York doing it. There's a whole load of people. Matt's pushing buttons. Other people are doing things elsewhere. Stephen's looking at scripts. There's a whole load of people that is getting me on air to you tonight. And they're not doing it because winning requires hard work, blending work and life. No, they're doing it because we like our jobs, we like each other, and we like the way we're treating.
Same here, bud. I mean, it's day after, it's Boxing Day, day of rest if you don't have to work, which I was able to. It's my last PTO day of the year. I was like, put that shit in for Boxing Day.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, I think I texted you a couple hours ago that I bought these legally in the state of Tennessee, some nice gummy edibles. And yes, I had a moment where I was like, well, these edibles ain't shit. And then like 4 hours later, I was like, wow, these are still working. Yeah. And you're like, we should record now. I'm like, I don't have a show ready. I still didn't get a show ready, but I did feel like I could talk and move buttons and stuff. Mm-hmm. There was a time where I was like, I fell asleep watching Loki last night. I was watching an episode of Loki and I felt like everything happening in it was like important. I was like, I was getting anxious. I was like, oh God, this is terrible. Oh,
it was becoming sure. reality.
Yes,
for you.
Yeah. I was having trouble. Yeah. I was having trouble differentiating. Good thing I kept that in the show. Let's go on. So I put in. I put this clip here. I think so. Last week, on the headline show, you asked me if I'd listened to the Amanda Knox interview, and you were like trying to tell me who Amanda Knox was. I was like,
and you already knew. Yeah.
Of course, I knew. Yeah. God, that was the whole point of her interview, is that everybody knows her story without her almost having like any privacy in the way that her reality exists in other people's minds, you know? So I guess for other people that may not know, these people Alan imagines, Amanda Knox was falsely accused for murder.
In Italy.
In Italy. She was an exchange student. She was there. She'd been there for a few weeks already.
She came home, found her roommate. Well, she didn't find
her. Her roommate had been killed. The police just fabricated an idea that it was her. You know, if you listen to her, she kind of says that she thinks it's an example of people sort of working backwards from a conclusion, but that they had good intentions. She doesn't feel like most of them, maybe the prosecutor.
She's very charitable towards
she is. She is. Because I mean, it's so bad, right? Like
it's really bad.
Didn't they have something that was about like a woman would never do this? What was the context of that?
Because the roommate's body was covered in a blanket and they said a man would never do that. Only a woman would do that.
Yeah. So clearly a woman did the murder. Yeah.
Right.
And like, just before we get too far into the story, the one thing that's terrible always about this story is that someone did kill that woman. Her name is Meredith. The guy is, what was his name? Silly name.
He was a burglar.
Good day. Sure. His last name is Good Day. Those are names that we should know. Amanda Knox is not a name we should know. She's someone that lived with the person that got murdered.
She's peripheral.
It's terrible that of this horrible story, we know her name. And she spent years in prison too until they.
8 years, I think. Something like that.
It might not have been that long, but I mean, I remember it.
Many years.
Four. Yeah.
Even after they had like DNA evidence proving that the other guy was there.
Oh yeah, his DNA was in her body because
he sexually assaulted her.
Yeah, and they're like, yeah, she okay, right. So she still did it, but she paid him to do it. Like it's just insane what the Italian police did. Anyway, I wanted to play this clip. The setup is long. Her answer's long, but it's the one thing that didn't get included in the setup that I think would have been more worthwhile is. Sam, this is the Sam Harris podcast. Sam has a habit of always bringing up this Nietzsche quote about how if you force anybody to change their mind about your opinion, I'm not saying the Nietzsche quote properly, but it's like if you actually, can you remember it very well?
I can't. Okay. I know what you're talking about.
So if you can, if someone has the wrong opinion of you, if you,
I'll never forgive you for changing
their mind. If you force them to go through the mental hurdles. To change their mind on you, they won't forgive you for the effort that it took them that you required them to take to change. So you might get them to understand your point of view, but they'll still resent you just for having made them go through the effort to change their mind.
Yes, yeah,
that's part of his setup to this question and answer.
Obviously, all the anonymous trolls out
there. I will admit, I am playing this at fast speed. He sounds weird at fast speed when she starts talking. It's fine, so just get used to it, guys.
But then there's Meredith's family. Mm-hmm. How do you think about the people who are maintaining an apparent conviction of your guilt, even when so much is now known about what happened and didn't happen?
Yeah. You know, I actually feel for people because I think to realize that you were not only so wrong, but so wrong in such a harmful way is a devastating thing to realize. And it's something that it's totally human to want to rebel against at every point. Like, the sunk cost isn't just that they were wrong and that's embarrassing. The sunk cost is that they hurt someone in the process of being wrong. And so it's not just the misinformation and it's not just the ego of wanting to be right. I think that people are afraid of what it means about them if they were this wrong. And it's much easier for them to believe that there's something wrong with me to have deserved the harm that I suffered. And so I think it goes to people identifying with their ideas. And when put on the spot, and even when having, you know,
so this is where it starts to get into a little bit more of the type of show we do, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of the things we struggle with a lot in terms of, we don't struggle with it with the audience we have, but the show we do isn't like broad appeal because you have to, like, we will say things, you know, over the course of a conversation about Israel and Gaza, both flattering and detrimental or accusatory to Israel's actions. You know, we kind of live within a lot of complex thought, and it evolves. It requires a listener to be willing to set aside a certain set of beliefs and then go with us on that thought and then come back to maybe where they felt. But most people don't really do that, right? I don't know.
Most people live in their echo chambers and aren't really willing to even consider any ideas that might attack some of their central beliefs. Yeah. And we tend to walk in that space constantly on this show.
Yeah.
And we say things that's going to piss off people on either side.
I'm going to end up looking like an asshole anyways. I might as well have a good time while I do it. And like, sure. And because of that, it allows me to sort of like make fun of myself. And just by doing that makes me realize I shouldn't take these beliefs I have so seriously. Let's mm-hmm. see if they're wrong. Let's listen to this for a while.
And we're always willing to do that.
Yeah.
We're always willing to have that, you know, that argument or to hear the other side of some sort of opinion or some sort of debate and be like, well, let's consider that.
Almost.
Pick
almost.
It up and look at it from all sides.
Almost. Yeah. Almost. Always.
Well, there are things that are, you know.
All right. All right.
Yeah.
People identifying with their ideas, and when put on the spot, and even when having, you know, like plain evidence put in front of them that what they believe is wrong, it feels to them like what you're saying is that they're a bad person. And that's why they can't grasp the plain, hard, cold facts of it, because it's charged with emotional resonance and with a sense of it implicating them and their identity and who they imagine themselves to be as people. And this is what I think about when I think about my prosecutor. Like, I would not want to be my prosecutor. Mm. Like, for my legacy to be what it is. And yeah. I completely understand why someone who is not yet fully ready to embrace with full self-awareness the reality of the situation would prefer the delusion.
People prefer the delusion. And yeah.
I said it before, but her charity towards the people that wronged her in this situation is sort of impressive to hear. When you consider everything that she went through, her age, the time this happened, you know, just her ability to process what happened to her, the people that did it. I mean, I can't think of a single person I know that would experience that and come away and be like, I feel sorry for those people that did that to me. It's wild. But it has made her a very resilient person, her ability to do that, I think.
Yeah, I feel like it's not just that, right? Like, I feel like it'd be one thing to be like, turn the other cheek. I think there's something else going on there, and it's the, I think
it's the understanding of human nature.
Yeah, yeah. So like, she's really tapped into something, which is, I don't know how you get out of that story with your mind intact as her.
Right.
Right?
Right. But somehow she's managed to.
Yeah, yeah. And so she's got a place, Knox Robinson. I don't know. Do you think she'd come on our little podcast?
She might.
You can ask.
We can ask. Yeah. I mean, this all happened when she was like 20 years old, I think.
Crazy. And it was like, I said it last week. It was the perfect story because the news updates would happen in real time in Italy, which would be overnight for us. So our morning shows would just have all these Amanda Knox updates. Yeah. Okay. Thrash sent this one in. This is crypto news, money laundering, tech, career politicians. It hits a lot of bases.
In crypto news, Senator Elizabeth Warren, who is 99 years old, has introduced...
Remember the late Elizabeth Warren, the lady who said that Subway buying Jimmy John's would make a sandwich monopoly. So again, you can't make those in your house.
It's the Digital Asset Anti-Money Laundering Act. The bill would effectively make cryptocurrency usage illegal. This is probably the 15th attempt of a bill like this. They've all failed. This one will also fail. I think Senator Warren in general is literally like 0-77 or something.
He corrected it to 0 for 304. Does that really mean she's never passed a bill?
That's what he's alleging. I don't know if that's... I haven't
been passing bills.
That,
She literally has a worse record than the Detroit Pistons. Here's the issue with all this crypto regulation that these fucking dinosaurs are trying to pass. Cryptocurrency and blockchain is a technology. It would be like if the U.S. government tried to ban the internet. You can't ban it and cancel it because you don't have the power to. All it's doing is stifling innovation, and motherfuckers are just picking up and relocating to more crypto-friendly jurisdictions. It's called capital flight. Criminals are using crypto to launder money. Hey, have you heard of the U.S. dollar? Money laundering is not a crypto issue. You want to talk about financial crimes? Let's take a look at all the people that are fucking in Congress. There's a quote by Harry Truman. Show me a man that gets rich by being a politician, and I'll show you a crook. Nancy Pelosi, annual salary, $223,000. Net worth, $202 million. Elizabeth Warren.
She's never had a job as anything other than that, right?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Annual salary, $193,000. Net worth, $73 million.
That's a lot of money for her.
Mitch McConnell, net worth, $95 million. I could go on. How did they get all this money? In crypto news.
Yeah. All right. Button.
Isn't that something?
I went and looked it up. Elizabeth Warren has passed 11 bills of the 330 she's ever written.
It's almost as good as the Congress from last year.
Yeah.
27?
Wow. That's a good point, Alan, when you put it that way. While we're on the subject, whenever I get a chance, I like sharing this potato. I love this potato guy. I don't want to get rid of him.
And have you?
Well, I mean, Nicole Maglio Stock Tips, as I call her now. I mean, she's in.
Okay. So this is the guy, this Nicole
Santos.
Maglio. Yeah. So George Santos. I already said potato. Listeners know what I mean when I say this potato. He looks like a potato, doesn't he?
He does.
Okay. Yes. All right. When he wears glasses, he looks like Mr. Potato Head when he just has glasses on. So George Santos is talking about Nicole Maliotakis, who is a Republican congresswoman from the state of New York. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's some beef there specifically because he got kicked out of Congress and he's from New York where he, you know, lied and shit. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, that's his party. I feel like there's a little catfighting between him and this chick, right? If you remember, Alan says this lady's crazy when I tried to play a clip of her a couple weeks ago where she came on to say Trump saying the poisoning the blood of the country didn't mean what it sounded like. And that was the lady we had on defending Trump, is that Maliotakis. He calls her Nicole Malia Stock Picks. Ha!
Why and have you?
Well, I mean, Nicole Maglio Stock Tips, as I call her now, I mean, she's insider trading, and it's almost evident if you look at her disclosures. I mean, it's not hard to see.
How do we prove that?
Oh, it's very easy. She receives classified briefings as a member of the Ways and Means Committee. It takes a very competent FBI officer to go look at her trading.
Dude, he's good. He's so good. He's basically saying, like, FBI, you can do this. I'm going to tell you how.
And how it works. And just look at her communication. This is all digitized these days. It's not hard to see.
He wasn't going to say it when he was in Congress, right?
No. But now he's like, look at the breadcrumbs. They're all there. Just follow the
trail. I love him so much more now that he's not there.
Person saying, hey, do this trade. Just got a good tip.
You know who he is? He's Jose Canseco. Remember when Jose Canseco
came on the steroids?
Yeah. Remember when Jose Canseco was like Barry Bonds, Mark McGuire, everybody was on steroids. Me, like, and they're like, yeah, we don't trust you because you're the guy that didn't. It's like, okay, well, when has anything I've said not come true? Alex Rodriguez, like, all of it came true. Yeah. He was just the least credible. Yeah. George Santos is the Jose Canseco of Congress.
Of politics.
Yeah. Politics. Yeah. Okay. Well, potato makes a point. I got my note there. Okay. I've got a couple of Trump clips that doesn't fit in the Trump cult segment. This kind of has to do at the time when I put this, I just thought we'd still be talking about Trump being ineligible. But we kind of covered it on the headline show, but there's a couple of things. There's a couple of updates and sound clips in between the time we recorded that came out. This one sort of takes us into the subject. This is Charlie Sheen telling a story on a talk show about the time he met Trump. I forgot this story. I have heard it before. Listeners, if you've heard it before, it's probably been a while. So here you go.
Donald, staring at my watch. And so he started saying, you know, listen, I'm sorry that I wasn't invited to your wedding, this and that. Or I'm sorry I can't make your wedding. And I'm like, I didn't invite you. So he says, but, you know, I want to give you an early wedding gift as a gesture from me and Melania. And she doesn't say a word. She's very sweet and very pretty, but just kind of sits there, you know.
Yeah.
Anywho, so uh, So he says, these are platinum, diamond, Harry Winston. And he pulls off his cufflinks and he gives them to me. And so I'm like, oh, gosh, Mr. Trump, you really shouldn't do this. He goes, no, it's the least I can do. And, you know, have a great marriage and all that. Little did he know. So
is this Denise Richards or one of his other not?
I think it was Denise Richards, okay. Yeah.
So smash cut to about 6 months later, I had some jewelry getting appraised at the house, you know. And she finished and was leaving. And I said, oh, yeah, you know what, there's another couple of pieces that I have that I'm very curious about. Would you mind appraising these? She said, no, what are they? I said, well, you know, I explained the dinner and this and that. And these are from Donald Trump, Harry Winston, you know, flawless D's, platinum. She took the loop, spent about 4 seconds, and kind of recoiled from it, much like people do from Trump. And, so she says, in their finest moment, this is cheap pewter and bad zirconias. Wow. And they're stamped Trump. And I just thought, what does this really say about the man? You know, that he said, here's like a great wedding gift, and it's just a bag of dog shit, you know?
I didn't hit the button right.
Isn't that something?
That's
yeah.
That's the Graham Norton show.
Is it? Who's Graham Norton?
That's still on the. He's a British comedian. He had like a late night show kind of thing.
Okay.
Used to air it on Bravo, I think. I don't know if he's still doing shows, but it was.
Yeah, that's an old clip. Probably like 2016 when everybody was getting their Trump stories out, right?
Yeah, probably.
Here's a little news in the Trump world. We know about what happened in Colorado, but here is a tale from Virginia.
Major breaking, a motion has been filed to remove Donald Trump from Virginia ballots. Here are all the facts you need to know. The motion, which was filed in district court, states, under the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution, Mr. Trump is constitutionally ineligible to appear on any future ballot for federal office based on his engagement in the insurrection against the United States. The motion also alleges Trump is an insurrectionist, and having him a candidate taints the election with illegality.
Good.
If Virginia decided to take Trump off the ballot, they would be the second state to do so after Colorado. Trump previously responded to Colorado's decision to take him off the Republican primary ballot. It's a sad day in America, okay, he wrote.
All right. Oh, how about that?
Sad day.
So I guess other states are following suit. I actually only saw that clip about that. I haven't seen any other coverage of Virginia taking that.
I know there are a number of lawsuits pending in multiple states, but most of them seem to not really have standing. So
right.
We'll see where any of those go. Yeah. The Supreme Court just decided they weren't going to hear Jack Smith's presidential immunity case. I don't know if there's
no. I didn't hear about that.
Yeah. So remember,
so
Jack
the appeal.
Yeah, so he sort of was trying to bypass
lower
courts and just say, you know, let's just go to the Supreme Court and be done with it.
This happened today?
No, this happened a couple days ago.
What?
Maybe Friday.
I've had a 3-day bender, as to say.
Yeah, the Supreme Court was like, yeah, we're just not going to hear that case. So
they did?
No. Yeah. They said they're not going to hear it.
Okay.
They didn't even provide an explanation.
Cowards.
As to why. Yeah, pretty much. I was surprised that they did that.
That's actually kind of so it'll go to the normal appeals
process.
Yeah, so that's their way of making it go through a longer process.
Yes.
So there's two ways of looking at that. Either they're doing that because they are sympathetic to Trump, or they want to see more regular due process with the appeals process.
Or they're just cowards and don't want to deal with it.
I mean, yeah, they're like, please, we don't want to. Somebody else do this. But there's no way that doesn't get appealed all the way up anyways.
It's got to get there, I think.
Yeah.
It has to. There's no way it doesn't. Yeah.
Man, that's really frustrating. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, so the problem is, I don't think it's because they're cowards. I think they're being tactical, is that they're trying to send it back to the lower courts because the longer that goes on before that decision's made, the more impactful that is on the election. And for them until the least possible moment, they are playing into Trump's hands more.
Yeah, I can certainly see that scenario. Okay. Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, yeah, we got a wackadoo and a potential can of worms if you're up for it. Here's our wackadoo of the week. This is the SPARS pandemic.
SPARS?
Yeah. Okay. Wasn't aware of that, right?
No.
So these are the plandemic people talking about. Well, here. Oh.
unmute.
It's crazy. They already have the pandemic planned and everything. There's an 89-page PDF about how they'll push everything. Here's the table of contents for anybody who wants to see it. How they'll start the outbreak, how it'll spread.
You know what this is, right?
I don't think I do.
Well, what they're sharing? Like, I mean, I don't know either. This is honestly, I was just like, I put a note down here. What's my note say? It says either review this or raw dog it on the show. Yeah. I didn't review this. Okay. I'm guessing what this is one of those, they do like a tabletop type exercise.
Almost like a planning scenario.
Well, don't you remember when COVID broke, right. They were like, they already planned this. It's like, it wasn't outrageous to think that the place where all the virus outbreaks come from is where the next one's going to come from. Right. Like they were like, but you said Wuhan. It's like, they're always from Wuhan. that's why they put the virology place there. But anyway, so yeah, they do these like exercises and they have, you know, like a preparedness book and they try
wargaming for viruses.
And they try to make it really realistic. So they have like news articles printed that are in there as like images and stuff for the document. So this guy's going through that document.
Where we'll go, the deaths that'll happen, a summary of how they want to do everything and who will be affected and how the CDC will push the message.
Is like, if you're the government in charge of making this a minimal issue, you would want to practice how you would message to the public, right?
Of course.
I don't like defending these people.
Seeing that they already have prepared and they're getting ready to push
a vaccine,
how it'll go viral and spread, how they'll push the message online, everything. This is crazy. The Hollywood messages and everything. It gets deep. It even talks about protests online, people standing in line to get food.
Dude, this guy can't even hype it up well, right?
I hate the background music. He's not really driving a narrative here.
Are you
wackadoo,
good?
Wackadoo, wackadoo.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. All right, you know what, let's open up this can of worms. And we'll go to lunch after this. I won't ask you any questions. This is an angle I had not considered yet. I am not a fan of libs of TikTok as a movement, let's say.
Right, nor am I.
Gotta say, every once in a while they share something where I'm like, oh fuck. So I brought it here so that we could argue about it. I'll save my thoughts on it until after we hear it. Here we go.
Hey, so we're having a real debate right here. I am non-binary.
This came up over Christmas, so this is just imagine showing up to your family Christmas and you've just got this fucking argument just... Okay. You're just like, I just want to go drink eggnog and give people shitty gifts and, you know, talk to them again in 365 days. Like, and you just got to go there for somebody's wife. Okay.
I am a non-binary woman. I have a vagina owner.
Just want to say, just remember, we'll probably isolate vagina owner. She called herself a non-binary woman a moment ago, right?
Right.
Okay, just remember that she said that.
And my husband tells me consistently that he is a cis man that likes vagina. And that's how he identifies as a straight cis man. I find it offensive that my husband sees himself as straight when he's married to someone who is non-binary.
I find it offensive.
Oh, I'm not a woman. So you're not straight.
She said she was a woman and she said that you're not straight.
You're actually queer. And he won't acknowledge that. He won't give me the acceptance of... Yes, I understand we are a queer marriage and I am inherently queer because I am attracted to all vagina owners, not just girls. He likes non-binary spectrum women, non-binary people, no gender that have a vagina. He just likes vagina. He just does not like penis.
Am I off base to say that I think what we're struggling with here is the constraints of using language to describe an idea?
Yeah, I definitely think
so. Because it's like, you yourself, this this vagina owner, can't avoid using the word woman.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Non-binary woman.
Yeah. You want certain words to be used so that someone can agree with... But he can feel his way and love you, apparently, somehow, which deserves an award.
I mean, yeah.
And if he doesn't use the same words that she wants him to use, it's not the same meaning.
So, you know, do you know about the Jim Norton thing?
Jim Norton's a dirty boy. Whenever he'd go on tour, he'd always look up Backpage girls with dicks.
Well, so I believe he's in a relationship with a trans.
Oh, okay. Well, I would hope he was, because as I just said, anytime he'd go on tour, he'd go to his hotel room and find, ladies.
So he was on Whitney Cummings' podcast, I think, last week. And she's like, "Are you gay?" And he's like, "No, I'm definitely not gay." And then his partner was like, "Well, you know, you never make, you know, weird sounds when I take my dick out." And he's like, "No, I don't mind that at all."
Well, that means you're gay.
Thanks, Larry.
I mean, he has more of a leg to stand on than this person.
Leg, he's so to speak. Oh, it's awfully generous, Alan.
Please clap.
Thank you. So wait, where are you going with that? How did that get resolved? Like, did
it? It kind of didn't, but I mean, I think
isn't that just like a matter of opinion?
I think it's hard to have a conversation about these things when we're still defining the words and what all of it means. And just understand that people are on a spectrum and they're on a spectrum everywhere, politically, sexually, mentally, there's a spectrum everywhere.
Yeah.
And we got to get used to that. And I think, but being offended because your husband.
Right. The person that loves you, by the way, the person that accepts you, but like can't say the word that you want. Or
she can't even.
Wouldn't it just be fine if he loved her, even if he didn't see it that way? Like if you love each other, you know, like, I don't know. That's okay. Just that I think, that to me seems like a troubled relationship, Alan.
I mean, yeah. If your wife's pissed off at you because you're not using her correct pronouns.
If your wife's mad at you because you won't tell her you're gay, things are not going well in your relationship. Yeah, I'm going to get a beer.
Let's see the other side.
This is the B side of our platter, sports fans. And I'm singing just for you, covered in sequins.
In the canyons of your mind, I will wander through your brain to the ventricles of your heart, my dear. I'm in love with you again.
Biden orders air strikes in Iraq after U.S. troops attack.
Iraq got mad at us. These are things that I didn't have clips for. Iraq got mad at us for an airstrike I think we did in Iraq recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like over the weekend, right? Like either yesterday or... Okay. And, at least we made it through Christmas, right? The Houthis tried to cancel Christmas.
God damn it, Houthis. This is why we can't have nice things.
So then Iran, separately, Israel killed an IRGC like commander general.
Yeah.
And Iran said that they'll vow revenge on Israel over that. What's new there? A lot of, also there's rumblings about Israel having done like another Stuxnet type thing where like there's been some internal infrastructure hit with cyber warfare from Israel.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. I don't have any details. This is just off the top of my head, but okay. So if we keep in mind, let's get this lady off of here. Sorry. I don't mean to misgender her. It's
disturbing
me. This they out of here. don't laugh. We're sensitive, Alan. We're considerate.
Sure.
Yeah.
very sensitive.
All right, so we've got, we had airstrikes in Iraq that Iraq got mad at us over. Around the same time, Israel killed an IRGC general. Iran got mad. All of the shit going on in Iraq is Iran-backed.
Right. And honestly, I don't even know if Iraqi government really got mad at us or if they just had to play their people.
Yeah. And then now what's this? So what did Joe Biden did what? Joe Biden says what?
So apparently further airstrikes in Iraq after U.S. troops were attacked there. I'm just seeing this on a headline. I don't know anything.
I mean, he's kind of got to do it too, though, right? Because it's a loser with Republicans that Joe Biden's letting American troops get attacked.
Sure. Yeah, I guess politically that would be a problem.
Yeah.
If you're not going to respond. Yeah, no. Sure. Yay, war.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing we have all those bases over there. That'll help.
It's a good thing.
Yeah. If we didn't have those, imagine how much fighting we'd have if we didn't have all those bases over there. Right.
There's somebody firing off like fireworks in my neighborhood.
They were doing that over here yesterday too for Jesus, I guess. Right.
Fireworks for Jesus. Okay.
Do you get them normally? Just random nights?
No. Yeah.
I think these are, you know, hoodlums home from school. You know,
perhaps
you gotta wait for the universities to get back and all these college kids and get back in school, Alan. They're out running amok in our cities. These damn college kids.
God damn it.
And it's every summer and Christmas break. These college kids go back to our cities and run amok. Scallywags. All right.
Raconteurs and roustabouts.
Well, speaking of old timey language, here's a 92-year-old man on the Washington Journal on C-SPAN talking about the time he met Trump's father. Oh, we're in the best of the Trump cult segment.
Right, okay.
I'm a 92-year-old man, and I remember when Trump's father was in our village and talked to me personally. He was really a fan of Hitler. He said that dictatorship is not as bad as people think. He says one man rule is better than having too many people trying to bring their opinion up. And that was the same thing his son did. He believes that dictatorship is the best thing for this country. And sooner or later, you're going to wake up and believe when he becomes president, he'll become a dictator. So, America, be aware, and I'll say goodbye to America.
I can't even tell whose side he's on. Like, is he on the side of dictators?
No, he's not. No. Yeah, yeah, he's saying he'll say goodbye to America. Yeah, no, it wasn't even ambiguous.
The R word is rolling around in my head.
Alan, jeez. Wasn't even a question. Sorry. I feel like a lot of people, how do I say this? So like, I love history, and there's lots of stories through history of strong men at the right time steering a country through what would have maybe been its demise.
The quote unquote great man scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, there's reason to think that like we're in a moment right now and it's nice to look for somebody to fix that. The problem is the person that can fix that isn't usually the person that says, by the way, me, and I'm the only one and only me can fix this. That's usually the charlatan, which is always there. And Trump is just so clearly the charlatan, you know, and we're so thirsty for this great man to present themselves. Hey.
Where's FDR when you need him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. God, I hate you. All right, let's do some more Trump stories. I have a note here saying Trump has a real problem here. I feel like this gets lost in all the other headlines too. He's got shit going on in Michigan. You talked about other states.
News is reporting on a recorded phone conversation between former President Donald Trump, the RNC chairwoman Ronna McDaniel, and two Wayne County Board of Election officials. And this was about certifying the results of the 2020 election.
So before we play more of the clip, if you think about it, the whole thing that centered around the trial in Georgia was an inappropriate phone call.
To Raffensperger,
yeah. an election official, the Secretary of State, to not certify the vote. So he was doing the same thing to people of different capacities, and they just said Ronna McDaniel, the head of the DNC, right? So
in Virginia,
this is Michigan.
Michigan. Okay.
Yeah, Virginia is where they took him out, or they're also petitioning to get him off the ballot.
Okay.
So in Michigan, we have a very similar case of a recorded phone call of him contacting election officials, trying to get them not to certify the vote. There's a little bit more details, but just I don't want to interrupt. Actually, I love interrupting.
They quote Donald Trump as saying, "We've got to fight for our country. We can't let these people take our country away from us." Ronna McDaniel then says, "If you can go home tonight, do not sign it." That's the certification of the election results. "We will get you attorneys," followed by Trump saying, "We will take care of that."
So just
that's talking about the electors from Michigan, right?
Yes. But like this seems to me like a huge fucking problem. Time-wise, it won't matter if he wins the election, but, you know, this sounds like the same thing as Georgia.
Sounds exactly the same.
And I don't hear anyone talking about this. Have you heard about this? You heard about this?
Those two officials apparently had already voted to certify the results. They tried to rescind their votes, but weren't able to do so.
So if they tried to rescind their votes, that means they were leveraged into doing so, right? Like, there was a reason that they went back on what they voted for.
I initially said, yes.
Now, this is on Fox News, and they're talking to Karl Rove, a huge GOP operative going back. I mean, he's a neocon, but, you know.
Yes.
Which is the opposite of MAGA, which is worth, this distinction is
That's
worth,
true.
Yeah.
What do you make of all this?
I think the former president's got a problem with this. They had voted to certify the election. He attempted to force them to change their decision, which they tried to do. I think this is what we would call election interference. And just as he got into trouble in Georgia over a similar act, calling the Secretary of State and saying, "Find me 11,000 some odd more votes," this is a problem. The president, former president, should not have been doing this. These people are supposedly independent officials who are supposed to certify the election based upon their review of the process and the procedures in place, and he's attempting to get them to change their opinion after the fact. This is not a good move if accurate, and if this tape is true, the former president's created another problem for himself.
He loves making problems for himself.
I mean, just to back your point about Rove, I mean, this is the guy who was essentially the architect of Bush Cheney, right?
Yes.
The guy driving sort of behind the scenes, driving the wheel.
Yeah.
Taking the wheel.
Yeah.
The Iraq War, all of that post 9/11 stuff, the Patriot Act, like this is the guy.
Not someone we should be listening to, but.
No. But to hear him say that, that's pretty incredible. Yes.
Right. Right. I mean, he's someone to know a political issue, right? Like he's.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
This next one is more of that blood poisoning stuff from last week. I don't feel like that should get dismissed. That was kind of forgotten about. Here's another former one of the best people. He only hires the best people. He hired the Walrus Man, yes, Iran Man, John Bolton. Best friend of John McCain.
He knows a thing or two about coups.
I know a thing or two about coups. Yeah. here he is. Saying that just flat out Trump's not fit to be president. It's phenomenal that these are the people that he hired, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This is predictably on CNN, but it's weird that he's on CNN too.
His comments were comments that were very similar to ones made by Hitler about
the poisoning the blood.
Jews poisoning the blood of the country. Trump was saying that illegal immigrants were poisoning the blood of the country.
Not just from Mexico, Alan, but Africa and China as well. So, yeah, everyone.
Equal opportunity.
Those comments appropriate, Ambassador Bolton?
What a question.
Yeah.
No, they're disgusting. I mean, really vile and appealing to base racist instincts. It's just one more example why Trump is not fit to be president.
His comment.
But he wouldn't have known that until after he got fired, right?
Like, sure.
You know, before that, he thought he was worthwhile.
Before that, as long as he could, you know.
Yeah.
Turn the Iran policy the way he wanted.
And I've been wanting to play this clip since I think last week when this started blowing up, but we didn't do a show then. So a lot of you have seen this, maybe you haven't. Joe Rogan had some guy on. Every once in a while he has someone on where it's like, I don't know who the fuck this guy is. Good for him for being there. And they were riffing about how terrible Joe Biden is and his mental acuity and all that kind of stuff. And they brought up an example of it that Joe just saw a video of recently. Except the problem was it was Joe referring to something Trump said. Here's the whole video.
Well, you know, there's people that voted for Biden that are doing it now. They're like, what did I do?
Right.
Like, what did I choose? Like, how is this guy?
Yeah, you just can't listen to an interview where he's saying some of the stuff he says that just makes no sense at all. It's like you can't listen to those interviews and feel like you made a good decision. I don't know how
you
could.
Did you hear what he said like yesterday or a couple days ago? He's talking about the Revolutionary War. He's like, one of the reasons why we lost the Revolutionary War, one of the problems with the Revolutionary War was they didn't have enough airports.
Now, when I heard this part of the story, I was like, oh, we talked about this on the show when Trump said it.
Right.
Because Trump said it on the history, on the anniversary of, you know, on the 4th of July speech or something like that while he was still president.
Have you seen that?
I saw that. Like, what the hell?
Like, pull him.
It's crazy.
If you were,
listen to how they're talking. Listen how they're talking about it when they think Biden did it,
right?
Because they have a producer on the show, and Jamie looks that shit up, and he corrects it. And then listen to how they sound when they're like, "Oh, well, Trump said it." Well, listen to how they are when Biden said it.
Job, and you were talking like that.
Yeah,
they would go, "Hey, you're done."
If you talk like that to a doctor at your medical exam to fight, they'd be like, "Okay, like obviously you're not
fighting. Fighter."
You would also, here's, you know, 8 weeks of being helped out by a professional, like
you might not ever do anything again.
No, it's one of the wildest things ever.
It's insane.
Yeah,
and the media guy.
So that's a long riff when they think that it's him. Like, you know,
reasonably piling on for sure.
Yeah.
Gaslighting you to protect. It's just people are so afraid of Trump being in office and Republicans being in office.
You know,
a few moments later,
hanging out with the guy, I'm like, man.
Well, you know, it's just the media narrative. I mean, so many people were fed this lie that the Russia collusion.
Yeah.
Is this the video you're talking about?
Let me see what this one says. I don't think it is.
What? By the way, the same stable genius that said the biggest problem we had in the Revolutionary War is we didn't have enough airports. Whoa.
Yeah, that's it.
Whoa. Right,
just for the record.
Is that fake?
It's not fake, but he was referencing Trump saying that. Here's what Trump saying it in 2019.
Oh.
Donald Trump said something about that, and he didn't say Jesus. He said a stable genius, and that's where the transcription.
Let me hear what it says. What did he say?
In June of 1775, the Continental Congress created a unified army out of the revolutionary forces encamped around Boston and New York, and named after the great George Washington, Commander-in-Chief. The Continental Army suffered a bitter winter of Valley Forge, found glory across the waters of the Delaware, and seized victory from Cornwallis of Yorktown. Our army manned the airport.
It's not Cornwallis of Yorktown, you dumbass. Cornwall, you know, he stormed his compound where he's from, Yorktown. Like, do you understand what this was? That actually, hold on. It was at, okay, not of Yorktown. Cornwallis wasn't from Yorktown. It was the battle.
Right, the battle.
It ran the ramparts. It took the over ramparts. The airport.
Ran.
He knows that from the, you know,
the ramparts with their red glare. Yeah, and we just missed it. He says they took over the airports.
It did everything it had to do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Listen to them now.
So he fucked up.
Yeah, he did. But I feel like that's it. You can tell, too, it sounds like a little different. He's like, you could tell he like messed up his words, but
yeah.
He was just,
what are you fucking talking about? Like, I thought you were saying when you make that mistake, you're supposed to be like, hey, buddy, can we talk to you over here, buddy? You're not allowed to do this shit ever again anymore. I mean, he just messed up his words. What are you comparing it to? The way Biden didn't deliver the lines well when he was mimicking the guy? Like,
Oopsie. He messed up his words. No big deal.
And that's the thing is, like, you know, they got to make categories on that show where they make fun of everybody. So let's move on to the next category.
Yes, like we do.
Yes. Slickets sent this one in. This is starting off our best of the right. Is this Kellyanne Conway? Is that who that is? Yeah, that's Kellyanne Conway.
She's aged a bit. Wow. I haven't seen her for a while.
There's a lot of preservatives underneath that skin.
I just think the Democrats wake up every morning, Emily, and they look at the calendar. The iPhone says January 6, 2021. The date never changes. And then they get in the electric vehicle and go get an abortion. I just described the Democratic Party to you in 7 seconds.
Wow. I feel attacked. Not at all. Okay.
It's like when you're so bad, it's like, I'm not mad at you. Like, I can't. Fuck you. Like, fuck you anyway.
You get your Tesla. You had an abortion.
Yeah.
And then you say, I'm a Democrat.
Yeah, exactly. Man, I got this in Best of the Right, but it's Eric Adams. Let's move on to Best of the Left. We're supposed to be in Best of the Left. Okay. So this is Mayor of New York, Mayor Eric Adams, cop mayor, right? And famous Tracy Jordan impersonator. Here we go. This is Eric Adams on a week where he made himself famous referencing 9/11.
I am the pilot, folks, and you are all passengers. Stop praying for me to crash the plane. Pray for me to land the plane, because there's no parachutes on this plane.
And as he reminded, because there's no parachutes on this plane. Like, I feel like a nice, robust city that takes all my tax money should invest in parachutes on their planes.
There should be some parachutes. Yeah. Some lifeboats.
If we all have to. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But, man, this is the guy that in the week of him, if you missed last week's big show, there was a clip of him saying, the best thing about New York is you could wake up and it could be 9/11 or you could be starting your own business. Who knows? It's New York City, baby. And then like a day later, he's like, don't ask for me to crash the plane into the building. Like, what are you fucking talking about, man?
You can't make this.
No, you can't. Sticking with Best of the Left. I thought this was a dumb take talking about Trump not being eligible for the ballot. But let me know what you think. It might be something we could argue over.
Oh, I definitely think that some voters will certainly feel that way. But I mean, on the flip side of it, when Supreme Court make decisions that are based on Republicans who appointed those justices to the Supreme Court, I mean, it doesn't invalidate.
So I think what was missed at the beginning of the audio was they were asked, like, should the voters make the decision or should the judges make the decision, right?
Whether or not he should be on the ballot.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But again, like, somebody has to look if they fit the criteria. Okay. You know what I wanted to say earlier? With Trump's whole thing with Michigan, take the names out of it. Like, just imagine you were running for dog catcher in Michigan, and there was an incumbent dog catcher, and he was calling the place where they counted the votes and having any kind of a conversation to leverage those people into do anything. You'd be outraged, right?
Of course.
This is the president.
The guy with the biggest, the biggest office, the biggest platform on the planet, essentially.
Yeah, we should be outraged by that. Like, that's okay. All right. You know what? People are outraged. They are right. And listeners, if you're one of those people, you're right to do so. And if not, tell me why. DMs are always open. Okay, back to this guy. So he was saying, you know, he was responding to people that would say that the voters should make these decisions, not judges. He's like, okay, well, we have the Supreme Court. Those people are all appointed by Republicans.
Republicans who appointed those justices to the Supreme Court. I mean, it doesn't invalidate those decisions even when we disagree with them. Ultimately, the Supreme Court will be the arbiter of how this plays out.
Or they could punt.
It's been interesting watching so many Republicans react to this, saying, you know, the people should decide, the people's vote should count. This is what should determine who's on a ballot, who wins an election. And I say to that, like, okay, I'm for the people deciding. So would that mean you would be okay ditching the Electoral College and just switching to a complete popular vote and letting the people's will decide which one is?
Or what about Bush Gore? Yeah. How about that?
What do you mean?
I mean, you let the Supreme Court decide then.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah. You're perfectly happy with that outcome.
Yeah.
But yeah, now it's perhaps not on your side. Suddenly you're like, oh no, the people, yeah. It's the people.
Yeah, it's the people.
Matter.
Right. Yeah. Or it's the state's decision, but not,
right.
Not now. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I think it's kind of a dumb take though, right? Like it is sort of, it's like, it's not quite a bad faith argument, but he's bringing up other shit.
Well, so if you believe in the Constitution and that it's the founding document of our nation and you should take it seriously, you should take the Second Amendment seriously, then you should take the 14th seriously as well.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is in the group chat, they were kind of arguing about it. Cause I don't know if you're going to believe it. Okay. Paul wasn't on board with the Colorado Supreme Court's decision.
Oh, I can't imagine. Right. Really?
So Paul? we were arguing about it in the group chat and, Thrash was not necessarily defending the Supreme Court decision, but he's saying he understands it. And his way of saying that he understands it was to say the language in the 14th Amendment is just as clear as the Second Amendment to me. Mm. I think that this is clear cut. And I'm like, man, if you say that, or if like Slickett says that, those mean two different things. Cause I feel like people on the other side right. of the gun debate are like, this is not very clear.
Right. Yeah. What is a militia again?
Yeah.
Tell me.
Yeah. How regulated is it? Yeah. That just means their uniforms are in order, Alan. That's all.
Oh,
okay. All right. I present to you the most Kamala clip of all time.
Oh, their school buses?
You know, every election cycle we talk about this is the most election of our lifetime. Lawrence, this one is. This one is. We are literally talking about people who are attempting to divide our country in the most crude, frankly, and profound way. We are talking about those who are intent and purposeful to attack fundamental freedoms, be it the freedom to make a decision about your own body, the freedom to love who you love openly and with pride, the freedom to be free from fear of violence and hate.
Could you imagine that? I didn't mean to stop it there. I just got triggered by the whole free of fear of violence and hate. Like, I don't want violence to exist. You can't be free of violence. Like, there doesn't, the world's trying to kill you and there's people in it. And like, just, I know it's not the way that she meant it, but she's talking in platitudes.
Sure.
Freedom to just be. Oh. The freedom to just be. You know,
we missed it though. It was at the beginning. Did you hear it? This is the most election of our lifetime.
I did hear that. Yes.
Every election cycle we talk about, this is the most election of our lifetime. Lawrence, this one is.
It's just the freedom to be. Isn't that what Teddy wanted? Be. I don't know. Yeah.
In the middle of that, she almost had like a presidential like speech.
Almost. Time. Almost there.
But like she just sandwiches it with such nonsense that it makes the actual filler is just like garbage, you know, McDonald's product, right? You're just like, this is so Kraft cheese. Like, I don't fucking goddamn it. We deserve better. We deserve better. And like, I hate to come across as a misogynist. I don't mean it. And I don't mind you misinterpreting me. And I understand you're going to resent the effort it will take you to understand my perspective on this, but I will beleaguer you through this if you're new to this. I don't think that she isn't qualified, that there isn't a world where she could be qualified to be vice president. Biden said he was going to pick a woman, and he said he'd pick a woman of color. There was two, if you count Elizabeth Warren. She became the fucking choice. Like, he put himself into a corner. Like, it's just like that. That is a limiting. Those things are noble to have concern for addressing those populations getting representation. But, you know, just flip it over. I don't feel like there's anything that I hold by nature of my whiteness that make me exceptional. And I don't think that anybody filling the seat of vice president should have the color of their skin describe their ability to hold that office. I like to think that we did kind of get over this shit, but apparently we didn't.
I would like to think that as well. you can watch all of her press conferences. You can see the yellow school bus one. You can see all of them. She hasn't nonstop. Made like great impressions.
Thank you.
And you know, I voted for that ticket. So, you know, yeah.
I'm trying to find my more of my Kamala clips, but I don't know where they are. It's fine. let's get into.
Oh.
It's another battle in the culture wars.
Oh, not the culture wars.
They're worried about a culture war. Culture wars. Stop with the culture wars.
This is Fani Willis. This is the Epoch Times, which is like, it's not just right wing, but like snarky in like a cheap Tucker Carlson way. But every once in a while, he makes some points. Let's see. Do I have any notes on this? I just know who it is. Fani Willis, collusion. Oh, okay. So this is the whole thing that Fani Willis was actually in. Did you know Fani Willis was in collusion with the Democratic Party the whole time?
I was not aware.
Oh, yeah. I'll remind you before we play this clip, I've said it before, Democrats are right to use the political tools at their disposal, but they should remember that if they use a tool that's been sort of off limits, that maybe we start like, do we want to start using this as a weapon? Republicans use tools better than Democrats do. And here we are.
Also, Republicans are way less, cautious about it.
They inhibited from using it. Yes. Yeah. And they use the tool better.
2 days ago, Ms. Fani Willis got some really bad news.
Fani.
That's because
Fani.
The House Judiciary Committee released a statement saying that they've launched an official investigation into possible collusion between Ms.
The House Judiciary Committee, staffed by who?
Comer.
Decided to launch a committee investigating into Fani Willis, who is just happens to be looking into their sweet, sweet golden boy.
Sure.
For doing
sure.
Nothing wrong with a perfect phone call.
Huh?
I did everything right.
I did everything right and they indicted me.
Anyway, here's the rest of this.
Ms. Fannie Willis and the Democrats over in Congress. Specifically, in case you're not aware, Ms. Fannie Willis is the district attorney who's currently leading the prosecution of
that President... That means he thinks his audience might not be aware, right? Like, we've never been like, Fannie Willis, who's that, Alan? Like, right? Like,
yeah, no need to describe.
This is a good time to remind you that the right-wing news, the crawl on the bottom, it's always slower. It's slower on Fox. It's slower on Newsmax. The crawl is slower on the right-wing websites. I'm a slow reader, so I like it, but that's how I noticed it.
But in Trump over in the state of Georgia. However, the House Judiciary Committee claims that they have found evidence that Ms. Fannie Willis was actually colluding with Democrats in Congress when pushing the case forward, which they claim is evidence that the entire case against Trump is just a form of politically motivated prosecution.
Now, are they going to actually provide the evidence they say they have, or are they just going to say they have it so they can get a committee?
They like to say.
Yeah. Can you show that to us? No, you'll understand once we get the investigation. Also, look at Trump's hair in this video that the right winger posted.
Now, this evidence comes in the form of a letter wherein Ms. Fannie Willis was asking a congressman who was at the time the chairman of the January 6th Select Committee to give her access to interviews, documents, and recordings that were not made public. She even allegedly offered to travel to D.C. to meet him in person.
Hold on. Doesn't that sound like what you would do under the auspices?
Yeah, that might be relevant to your case. Yeah. I don't know.
Hold on. Like, what's suspicious here?
To get these files. Now, let me ask you, does that sound like collusion or just the normal course of events in building a case? Leave your thoughts in the comments and subscribe.
Yes, it sounds like part of building a case.
It does.
Yeah. Then he did the whole like sideways, likes and comments down below. What a douchebag. I didn't make it to the end of that before. That's pretty bad. I only put it because it's like I said, Republicans will use tools better than, and so they're kind of doing the same thing. Pelosi sort of started an impeachment inquiry without having the vote. Now, after that, they made the rule that you have to hold the vote. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's exceptional that McCarthy
did anyway.
Started this one with Biden without holding the vote, which was what the Republicans got mad at the Democrats for not doing. So they wrote the rule down so that they all would do that. But once the Republicans were in charge, they didn't do it. Right?
Correct.
I said it right?
Yes.
Oh, nice. I'm proud of myself when I do that. This is a freelance videographer. That's what we're calling him now. Ryan Long. You know the comedian Ryan Long? He does these. Yeah. So it's up there with
Man
like
the street kind of stuff.
Yeah, he's kind of like the Good Liars in the sense where he's going like out in the crowd and stuff like that. Oh, Man on the Street. Yeah.
You see, a lot of freelance videographers will sell their footage to either CNN or Fox News. But when you do that, you only get to sell half of what you actually film happening at these events. You might be able to sell your peaceful protest footage to CNN, but then you're stuck with all this footage of looters rioting, which is why I've developed a technique that allows me to sell to both. They call me the chief because I use every part of the buffalo. Well, Fox News calls me the chief. CNN got offended that a white person used the word buffalo. For example, yesterday some protesters were antagonizing the police, throwing rocks at them. Clip that out, vintage Fox News. Then moments later, when the police responded with wildly excessive force, now I have a clip for CNN. A shopkeeper saying something racist obviously goes to CNN. The looters robbing him blind 5 minutes before Fox News. Last week, black protesters talking about how they're fighting oppression, classic CNN. But then when he goes on to say that's why black people need the Second Amendment, chop that puppy up, little something for Fox News. I have two distinct folders for Fox News, cops being chill, protesters being outrageous, and for CNN, I have cops being outrageous. Protesters being super chill. I learned that the hard way when I accidentally sent footage of black teenagers cleaning up the streets to Fox News. They emailed me back saying, what the hell are we going to do with this? I said, if you play it backwards, it looks like you're littering. They said, we already tried that. We don't think it's going to play for our viewers. I said, I think you'd be surprised.
I think you'd be surprised. That deserves one of these. That should have been isn't that something? It just seemed more in the culture wars, though.
It should have. What was that background music?
Way too loud. That's what it was. Again, guys, turn the volume down on your background music. Jeez.
It sounded familiar, though. I couldn't quite place it.
It almost sounded like...
It's like a protest song from the 60s.
Oh, nah. I don't know what it was.
Something in the Wind? I don't know.
You like a cover of it or the original?
Yeah, no, it was like they slowed it down and made it...
They did like,
I can't think of... I'll think of it later.
My words aren't working either, Alan. It's okay. We do a podcast. Let's keep it moving. This is, so there was a Moms for Liberty district. This isn't this the
one
sex
that
tape.
Had the threesome.
This isn't no. This is not related to the threesome. Although there's more videos from that. Apparently, sir, there's been another threesome. apparently, there's.
I mean,
there's a
once you have one, you kind of just won't keep doing it. I would imagine.
I'm gonna keep going with the show. some people quit when they're ahead, Alan.
Okay. All right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm certainly not talking about a real thing.
Sure. All right. Sure you're not. Of course
so
you're not.
There was a district that voted.
Hi, Australia.
What are you doing this, Alan?
Nothing.
There's people a lot closer than Australia. I'm trying to not involve in this either. I started all of this. So there was a district that voted to ban the perks of being a wallflower. And this guy went down to one of their school board hearings because he was a constituent of that district. And he said this, which I'll play. But does everybody know what perks of being a wallflower is about? Do you remember this?
Perks of being a wallflower.
Perks of being a wallflower was about a family that, let's say, to use the modern parlance, experienced incest. And the fruits of that were hidden in the attic. They like grew up. It's a novel about brother and sister that grew up in an attic being hidden away from all their family and stuff.
Yes.
I've heard that that book has actually done a lot for people that didn't realize that their family has sort of like hidden certain things from them in their life.
Skeletons in the closet.
Yeah, so yeah. I've heard that this is a book that's helped a lot of people be like, oh my God, that's what this is. It happened to me in some way. So it's strange to me that somebody would ban the book because it's not like the book is encouraging,
right?
Fucking your stepsister and then hiding the kids in the attic. So, anyways, that doesn't come up in this clip at all. This is just that's the context of the school board hearing. This guy goes up there and does a little satire on them, hoping that they'll get the message, but I don't think it's going to get through, but I think it's a good message anyways. Here's the message.
I hope you're not making a mockery of our district.
I'm not.
Okay.
This gay agenda is getting out of control. 8% of Americans identify as gay. 1 in 12 people identifies as gay. That means if a book has 13 characters, one of them statistically probably gay, what are they doing in the library? When you think about it, right? One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish, black fish, blue fish, old fish, new fish. This one has a little car, this one has a little star. Some are very sad, some are very glad. 12, glad, happy, gay, banned. We have to, right? Because it's like, I read books with gay characters when I was a kid. It didn't affect me because I'm straight. Same way that, like, I read books with dragons and it didn't affect me because I wasn't a dragon. But if someone who is gay, if they read a book with a gay character, they might think that that's normal. So only by restricting media, so they never hear of a healthy human adult who's gay, we protect them from that idea. And so, you know, these gay kids who live in our district, without a point of reference, they'll probably just think that they're broken in some way. That they're weird, right? That they're... Because... Now that I'm saying it out loud, it's because if a gay kid doesn't have gay role models, they're... Jeez, do you think that's why the suicide rate is so much higher among queer youth? Because there's voices condemning them for something they can't help?
Okay, I don't think that's going over with that crowd at all, but what a fucking...
they're not picking up that page. They're definitely not, yeah.
I mean,
I like that he did it though.
I love that he did it. And I love that message. I mean, that's the, I hate to keep, you read 1984 once, right? but especially in Julia deals a lot more with the anti-sex league and they kind of talk about that way that, purity and also sex is just kind of controlled by the state in totalitarian societies. And that reminds me of that, right? Where it's, you know, if you are going to get rid of any books, which is quite literally is what 1984 is about, is you get rid of any of the previous literature that dealt with such subjects, fine. Mm-hmm. Then you won't let that idea show up when somebody reads a book. It'll just be a thought in their head. And then that starts to manifest its way in unhealthy ways in your society. So you have to have something called the Anti-Sex League, right? And you teach your kids to be abstinent and blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, they're out being perverted through the state to lure or not lure people into the traps of Rooms 101, which I it's an old book. I think it's fine.
And then you get that one child policy, you know.
And things like that. Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Then
lots of extensions.
Collapse your
that.
Demographics.
Yeah. Dude, I've been watching Loki season 2, which oddly enough is about free will. It's really strange. And there's this scene where they're like, there's a bunch of these time divergence and this person's sort of like the, if temporary, ruler of that time region. And they're like, so what, you're just going to give everybody free will and walk away? And you're like, yeah. I was like, this is happening on Disney? Like, what the fuck is happening here? Like, we should call up Ziegler. He's not going to believe it. But sorry, they had a black mermaid. Never mind. We're not going to pay attention to anything they do anymore. Yeah. That and like their Star Wars, that Star Wars, it was like a British procedural show.
Yeah, the spinoff.
Yeah, whatever the most recent Star Wars spinoff was. That was basically like, look at a functional bureaucracy or like its misfunctions and how people leverage it and a critique of it. You know, it was some bold stuff coming from Disney. I mean, I think it's an example of them having an agenda oftentimes, but not being afraid to have good storytelling that leverages those thoughts that are, you know, that's clearly the message of Empire, right? Is the way it stifles individuals.
Oh man. I watched this movie on Netflix called The Rebel Moon.
I watched that. That was Zack Snyder.
Yeah. I was like, this is Star Wars.
Trying to make Star Wars universe.
And I was like, it's like Star Wars without lightsabers.
And then there was a lightsaber. And then there was one. Yeah.
Yeah. But
it even had a princess.
This is just Bob Iger's attempt to get back at Elon, obviously. That's all it is.
That's what that movie was? Or
no, not that movie. Disney's characterizations.
How so?
Remember the deal book thing? Where,
Yeah.
Fuck you. Don't want to advertise me?
I got it.
On my... Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Oh, you're okay.
It's not as funny when you have to explain it.
No, I know, but I thought...
Yeah. Go fuck yourself.
Okay. Yes.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
That was clumsy. I apologize. It's not your fault, sir. Nope. You know what? I put this in the culture wars for a reason. We shouldn't be arguing over politics when we can be arguing over what they do with the money, which is that's kind of been like my niche. And like people assume that I'm like, oh, you're just a big, small government guy. It's like only because that means less money in their hands. Like I understand the expanded freedoms you get from a functional state. But examples like what I'm about to play you are why I'm like, or we just don't trust them to do anything when they say they're going to. So maybe they're not going to fix things like healthcare or,
2 years ago, Congress spent $7.5 billion on electric vehicle chargers. How many have been built? One. That's $7.5 billion for this. This story makes me want to yell.
Show me the money!
Because where did the money go? Seriously, where did it go? There are so many stories like this where government will spend billions on projects with little or nothing to show for them. Like the Pentagon, which can account for $220 billion in gear given to contractors, and they failed 6 audits in a row. Or Biden's $42 billion broadband project, even though more than 90% of Americans already have access to high-speed internet. The VA bought 10,000 iPhones for $8 million. Never used 8,500 of them.
Of 10,000.
And never forget, $400 billion in COVID aid was either wasted or stolen. So the next time the feds propose to spend a bunch of money on a big new shiny stimulus project, even if it sounds great, don't forget how government spending projects really work.
That's my whole thing. That's my whole bag where it's like, oh yeah, hey, this thing is going to help this, that, and the other. I'm like, No, it won't. Like, if there is a way to have that solved by the private sector, it might have its own drawbacks, but it won't waste money in the same way. And if you're going to do that by harvesting it out of my paycheck, no, then fuck no. Like, I find a way to have that money get to somebody else to do that. You know, and the ones I make an exception for are ones that will clearly never happen by the private sector. And it's like, we need to get through this moment. Things like leveraging a lot more money into that vaccine research and things like Warp Speed, which I don't hear Trump talking about how he created anymore.
Operation Warp Speed.
Yeah.
I mean, so, but this is like an example of the monkey in the pedestal story, right?
Where talk about that. We didn't talk about that.
It's so easy to say we can build the pedestal, but it's really hard to train the monkey to juggle.
Explain the whole thing. Nobody heard that. We played the other part of that story.
Okay. All right. So essentially the story is, okay, you have this idea. You're going to train this monkey to juggle, you know,
flaming hand grenades.
Flaming hand grenades, whatever, something crazy. And you're going to have them on a pedestal. It's going to make you millions of dollars because everybody's going to want to see this show. And so you don't start with the pedestal because that's the easy part. Training the monkey to juggle the flaming hand grenades, that's the hard part. Yeah. That's the part you have to do first before you invest in the
right. pedestal. The $7 billion in electric chargers wasn't so you could build one fucking charger. It's no. so that you could set up the infrastructure to put right. a bunch of right. chargers in.
Right. So that was building the pedestal first,
yeah.
which then you get the sunk cost fallacy, all the stuff that you know, comes from that.
High speed rail in California.
Yes. Yeah. It's a whole thing, man. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
You got to train the monkey first.
You got to train the monkey.
Yeah.
I think we found the hard part. I think we found our show title. Show title. Oh, my God. Was that our last clip?
I think it was.
Oh, I thought I had something that was going to be the last clip. Oh. I even put a thing that, well, here we are with nothing else to play. I better ask you a fucking question then.
Yeah, let's do that.
Hold on. Let me just take a deep breath. Some things just get lost in time.
Mm.
Do you remember Pussygate?
Pussygate?
Yeah, the whole grab him by the pussy.
Oh, yes, I do.
Sometimes I forget about that. That's not how
it was. What was that guy's name that got like,
Billy Bush. That's what made me think about it. I was watching 30 Rock, and he was on 30 Rock because he was the top of the world, man. He was interviewing the Republican candidate for president in, you know, like August or September before that. Maybe it was October. I think the Pussygate came out on my birthday, so it was October, I think. And coincidentally, the same time, so the Pussygate tape came out right after Hillary's tape with Goldman Sachs, right? You can kind of look at it, the whole grab him by the pussy was a distraction from her Goldman Sachs tape, but maybe it wasn't. Maybe
Billy Bush's life got destroyed.
Billy Bush.
That guy was top of the world, could do no wrong, essentially. And then that came out. He was just like going along with some locker room humor is all he was doing.
But locker room talk. Listen to Alan.
Yeah.
That guy's in the Bush family. I don't feel bad for him. He's fine.
Yeah,
the reason he was there is because he got hit with the lucky stick. Do you ever get MC Hammer and Deion Sanders confused?
What? No.
No?
Why would I?
Like 90s pop celebrities that were very flashy. Black.
Did Deion have the big pants also? I don't know.
Deion big pants. I don't know. I could have stopped it when I said black out of context. It's a good one, man. Hey, a lot of people don't do a show this time of year. I come on here in the show with black.
Here we are. We're doing show.
Drive safe. Am I just trying to cancel myself? I'm not racist, am I? Alan, no. Am I racist?
No, not
okay,
at all.
Good. I need to find a way to put your head over here because I keep looking off to the side and I think that looks weird in the video.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'm going to stop recording though.
Oh, okay.
All right, drive safe, buddy.
When a guy's banging you,
y'all let me in his damn house.
Oh, how about that?
Come in the name of peace.
LMFAO.
So what in the world is this?
Is Kevin McCarthy a moron, and if so, why?
Why would you say something that stupid?
I come without explanations or solutions.
I'm a very sexy lady,
cat turd.
I will not suffer this harlot.
How great an anti-American Marxist.
Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.
Read the news.
China is asshole.
God bless the United States.
Now this is podcasting.